most of us. The Bible says here, it says, Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is why I say healing yesterday, today, and forever. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then healing is yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to tell you what, I don't know anything probably that's needed more in the body of Christ, in the nation, and in the nations for that matter, than healing. You think about it. Anybody here knows at least one person that's sick? Everybody in here will raise your hand. I bet you if I said, if you know two people, most people could raise your hand. If you know three people, you know, we're going to, because what? That is one of the things that we see that is so prevalent, you know, is that people are afflicted in their bodies, in their minds. There's sickness. There's sickness of the mind. There's sickness in the body. And here's the thing. We in the body of Christ, we have the answer. That is healing in the church. And you know what? We ought to be whole. The Bible says when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, said there was not one sick person among them. Now listen, let me just preface this. Because when I talk about healing, inevitably, some people allow the enemy to put condemnation on you. Listen, if you're sick, don't be condemned about it. That's not what the message is for. The message is to help you. It's to cause faith to arise. It's to stir something in you. It's to help you to see and to understand. Listen, you may be sick, but that doesn't mean God wants you to stay that way. That doesn't mean that God hasn't provided a way out for you. Now, let me say this, too, because, you know, I always have to preface things because sometimes not everybody has heard you say this. Listen, we're not against doctors. We're not against medical science. We're not against any of that stuff. But I want to tell you what, medical science can't do it all. You know, how many times do we hear, you know, they're doing their best, but you hear a drug come out and it's advertised to do this and to do that and to take care of this. And then a year or two later, you know, they're taking it off the market because they found out it had such terrible side effects that while it helped this, it hurt something else. So here's the thing. All we're saying is that medical science is limited, but God is unlimited. And it's time for the church that we stop apologizing because we believe that He is the healer. We start declaring that because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then healing must be the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're familiar at all with the ministry of Jesus that's recorded in the four Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you know this, in the ministry of Jesus, two things were prevalent. Number one, His preaching and teaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And the second thing was His healing ministry. The two things that were prevalent in the earthly ministry of Jesus that's brought out. There were other things, but those were two prevalent things. Wherever He went, He preached and taught the message of the kingdom of God, the gospel, the good news. And the second thing He did is He healed the sick. Now, for some unknown, well, not unknown to some of us, but for whatever reasons, there are many reasons, and we don't have time to go into them this morning. In the modern day church, we have only taken up one of those. And that is the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the kingdom. However, in my opinion, I don't believe we're really preaching the gospel of the kingdom if we are not preaching about divine healing. That's my opinion. In Genesis 20, you don't have to turn over there, but the first recorded incident of healing is recorded in Genesis 20 when Abraham prayed for Abimelech the king and his household was healed. I mean, that's the first instance of healing. And then we see later on, after Israel comes out of Egypt, we see for one thing, there was not one sick person among them. And the Bible historians say there was anywhere from 1.5 to 3 million people. That's a whole lot. You know that many people, there had to be somebody sick. Hello? Yeah. I mean, you think the day they came out, they were just happened to hit it where everybody was well that one day? I think not. What did they do? Right before they left, what did they do? They partook in what a Passover covenant meal, didn't they? And we're going to understand that that was to Israel what the new covenant meal is to us. It signified the covenant. And the covenant in the Old Testament included healing for the body. And the covenant in the New Testament also includes healing for the body. In Exodus 15:26, after they had come out of Egypt, all of them were healed and well. The first way God revealed himself to the people of Israel, he said, I will bless your bread and your water. I will take sickness away from your midst. He said, for I am the Lord God that healeth thee. That's how he revealed himself. The Hebrew word there, alliteration of it, transliteration of it, is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. So we see way back in Genesis, way back in Exodus, God revealed himself to his people that he is the healer. And he demonstrated it through the prayers of Abraham. He demonstrated it through the covenant meal of Israel coming out of Egypt. And he gave it to them as a perpetual promise and part of the covenant throughout their history. You know, one of the indictments that God would bring against the priests when Israel would backslide, he says, is you are not healing the people. Thank you for your enthusiasm. One of the things that God wants to see happen is not only the healing of the spirit in salvation, but the healing of the body as well. God wants his people whole. Think about how much better you could serve God if you didn't have that pain, if you didn't have that arthritis, if you didn't have that problem in your body. Think how you could serve, how much better you could serve God. You know, we've gotten so far away from the truth that, you know, where we've twisted things. And the word wicked, that's where we also, that same root word, we get our word wicker. You ever seen any wicker furniture? You might own some wicker furniture. All it means is what? It's twisted. Because if you look at the wicker furniture, those different things are twisted together. That's what wicked means. It means it's crooked. Amen? And God wants to take things that are crooked and what? Make them straight. Isn't that right? And that's true not only in our spirit with forgiveness of sins and the new birth, but it's also true in our bodies. He wants us to be well. Amen. And Psalm 103, about verse 3 there, the psalmist starts off in verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Mm-hmm. What is the injunction? What is the command of God there in Psalm 103? Don't forget what? Some of his benefits. He said, don't forget any of all. Remember all his benefits. And then he goes on, just in case we have forgotten them. He says, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth what? All thy diseases. Now, y'all remember your Hebrew, don't you? You know what in the Hebrew the word translated all means, don't you? All. Trick question. It means all. That means all diseases. Swine flu's in it. Isn't that right? It doesn't matter. Arthritis is in it. Heart problems is in it. High blood pressure is in it. It's all in it. Isn't that right? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Healing is for us yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. God hasn't changed, and neither has his promises to his people. You know, I think, you know, again, I believe that one of the reasons we struggle with that is because we are still yet walking more by sight than by faith. Now, here's the thing. When God says, okay, I'm going to forgive this person their sins, how do you know if he did it? By faith, right. But you can't see sin. You can't see the condition of their heart. You can't see their spirit. You don't know. God says, I'm going to put a new heart within them. How do you know he did it? But see, I think that's the reason we can accept that more readily is because what? We really have no choice. You can't see their heart. You can't see their spirit. You can't see that. But when it comes to healing, you know, as soon as somebody prays for you or somebody for healing or knowing some problem, immediately we can look and say, well, we don't look any better. I still got that pain. Come on. And so we stop walking by faith, and what we start walking by is what? Sight. You remember one time Jesus in his healing ministry, you remember when they tore off Peter's roof? He was having a home Bible study. Man, can you imagine this? You know, you got a small group going in your home, and all of a sudden, you know, there's so many people there they can't get in, so you hear this commotion. All of a sudden, a big hole knocked in your roof. And not only that, they start letting somebody down through it. That would be strange, wouldn't it? That would be strange. I mean, you know, it doesn't say that Peter said anything. I don't know if I'd have been as quiet as Peter. If that had been my house, I might have just been like, hey, what are you guys doing? But they let this man down. And, of course, this man was sick. He was paralyzed. And when they let him down, and Jesus, the first thing Jesus said to this man was what? Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And some of the religious people around said, wait a minute. They were thinking within themselves, now who can forgive sins but God? And Jesus asked them a question. He said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because nobody can tell whether that happened or not. That's easier to say, but harder to do. Which one's harder? To forgive sin. A doctor may heal your body, but he can't forgive your sin. Which is harder? It's harder. Forgiveness of sins is a much greater miracle. It's a much greater work of God by His Spirit and power is to forgive you of your sins. And yet Jesus said, okay, He said, but just to show you that I'm able to do that which is greatest, I'm going to do that which is less. And He said to the man, take up your bed and walk. And the man took up his bed and walked. We have made healing the paramount of the work of God in the wrong way. We have looked at that and said, oh, that's so hard. It's so hard. How could God cure a cancer? That's too big. It's too big. That's too big. Come on, in our mind, that's what we thought. Now, you know, headache, well, you know, God could do that. Now, you know, it might just go away anyway. But here's the thing. In Acts 10:38, it says this. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Now, pause there a minute. Doing good. How many believe what Jesus did was good? He said, and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. Well, let me ask you something. Is God with you? I said, is God with you? If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, the Bible says that God's living in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that what the Scriptures teach us? Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Isn't that what the Scriptures teach us? So God is dwelling in us. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're the temple of God. So what does God want to do? He wants to do the same thing, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, 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 today. Now, out of all those three, which are most important to you? Today. If you're sick, especially, it's today. Isn't that right? It's not tomorrow. God never told somebody, will you come back tomorrow and I'll heal you? You can't find that in the Scriptures. Jesus never did that. He never did that. He never said, well, it's too bad. If you'd been around when Moses was here, you would have got it. But here's the thing. We've got to understand, healing is directly connected to the Lord Jesus Christ and the covenant He gave us through His death on the cross, the shedding of His blood, the stripes laid upon Him, His resurrection, His ascension, His seating at the right hand. He has forever established our covenant. And a part and parcel of that covenant is healing for your body. Amen. Healing for your body. I want to read you some things from my notes. I jotted these down. I brought the parchments. Man, look how old that note is. The paper turned yellow. Huh? Like Dead Sea Scrolls. Almost seemed like. Listen to this. I just want to read you a few of these, and then we're going to do our covenant meal. I want it to strike you, though. How many of you are familiar? You know that sin came in by Adam's fall. Everybody know that? Sometimes we assume people know that. Okay, now listen to this. Adam, by his fall, brought sin into our spirits, our souls. And Adam also, by his fall, brought disease into our bodies. There was no disease until the fall. Sin is therefore the work of who? The devil. Disease is therefore the work of who? The devil. Jesus went about healing everybody oppressed by the devil. Jesus, in 1 John 3:8, was manifest to destroy the works of the devil in our spirit. Jesus was also manifested to destroy the works of the devil in our bodies. Are you following along with this? On Calvary, Jesus bore our sins. On Calvary, Jesus bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:21. He was made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, when he bore our sins. He was also made a curse for us, Galatians 3:13, when he bare our sicknesses. It all happened at the same time. It all happened at the same time. Listen, healing is not something extra that God just does sometimes if you've been good enough. Now, he'll forgive anybody of their sins, but now he'll only heal those special few that are really good Christians. But that's the way we think that way. Many people do. I'm wanting you to, that's right, they're thinking wrong. I want you to see, all of it was done at Calvary. Jesus did it all. The Bible, we just read this in Psalm 103:3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and what? Who healeth all thy diseases? The Bible says, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:20. But he also says in that same verse, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your what? Your bodies. Well, how do you glorify God in your spirit? Having a few sins there, right? A few sins in your life, doesn't that glorify God? It doesn't? Well, then, why do we think, as some in tradition have taught, that being sick glorifies God? Oh, yeah. Down through the ages, the church, we've taught, people have been taught that, you know, you just persevere with that sickness. You just patiently endure it, and that glorifies God. Well, no, the Bible says, if that was the case, then Jesus robbed God of glory. Because it says he healed everybody that was sick. Isn't that right? So if Jesus is healing, God's putting sickness, God the Father's putting sickness on them. According to Jesus, any kingdom divided against itself is going to do what? So they were working against each other. I don't believe that. I believe somehow we might have got it wrong. But I don't believe they got it wrong. Is remaining in sin any way to glorify God in your life? Then is remaining sick any way to glorify God? If it is, don't go to the doctor. I'm just saying, if you really believe that, don't go to the doctor. Don't take any medicine. Now, everybody hear how I'm qualifying that. If that's your conviction. But see, something on the inside of us tells us God wants us well. Why else are you going to the doctor? Why else are you doing what you know to do to get yourself well? Because something on the inside of us tells us God didn't make us to be sick. There's something, I mean, even if you're not saved, something on the inside of you says, look, I was made for something better than this. I wasn't made to be sick. I wasn't made to be bound to this sickness. Sickness steals, doesn't it? It steals your life. It steals your energy. It steals from your family. It steals from your finances. It steals from all kinds of things. The only thing good is when it goes. That's why every time Jesus come in contact with it, it went. Since he bore our sins, Jesus bore our sins, how many must it be God's will to save? Is that a question? What's the answer? All. Isn't that right? How many does God want to save? All. Isn't that right? Well, since he bears sickness, how many must it be God's will to heal? Isn't that right? You know, I've had people to ask me over the years, well, Pastor, if that's true, why isn't everybody healed? Well, answer this question, then I'll answer that one. Since you said it's God's will for everybody to be saved, why isn't everybody saved? You answer that, I'll answer yours. Isn't that right? Everybody's not saved, are they? But it is the will of God. There are different reasons why, aren't there? Some haven't heard, some haven't believed, whatever reason. Same thing comes to healing. Some haven't heard, some haven't believed. But that doesn't change the will of God. Since our substitute bore our sins, didn't he do that so that we wouldn't have to bear them? Isn't that the reason? He took my sins so that I wouldn't have to bear them. Because if I got to bear and pay the price for my own sin, I've had it. Isn't that right? Well, then why did he bear our sicknesses on the tree? Huh? Why did he do that? So we wouldn't have to. Same thing. No different. No different. What I'm wanting you to see is, really, it's just as easy to get healed in your body as it is to get forgiven of your sins. Because he did all the work. Amen. That's a good deal, isn't it? Listen. The sinner must accept God's promise as true before he can feel the joy of salvation. Isn't that right? Well, the same thing's true. The sick must accept God's promise as true before you can feel well in your body. See, sometimes we're waiting for God to do something. But remember what we read earlier in Malachi. God says, first you return to me. You draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. Now, let me just put this out to you. How many believe, as far as power goes, the ability goes, that God could heal any sickness that came upon your body? Now, I can understand if you feel like God's not powerful enough or something. Then I understand. Okay. Now, how many of you believe that when healing comes, God does the healing? Then what's the problem? You just said he had the power and ability to do it, and that when he does it, he's going to be the one doing it. So what's the problem? What's the problem? What difference does it matter whether it's a headache or a cancer? If he's got the power and he's going to be doing it, isn't that right? I mean, you know, if Bill Gates was going to pay my power bill, I wouldn't care how many lights I left on. Crank them up. Hey, I mean, we'll run extension cord over to your house. Crank it. Isn't that right? Because he's got the dough. No problem, man. But here's the thing. When it comes to God, sometimes we look at this, this is too hard. I think it's because somehow we think, this is a big thing. And somehow we've gotten ourselves into the mix in the wrong way. We're thinking somehow, if it's big, then boy, it's going to take a monumental amount of faith. Now, I got headache faith, but I don't know about that cancer faith. Well, let me ask you something. What does cancer faith look like? What does headache faith look like? There was a story, we're going to, right after this, we're going to do the covenant meal together. There was a incident in the ministry of Jesus that'll help us here, I believe. There was a woman with the issue of blood. Y'all remember that? Everybody remember that? I'll brief, somebody might not know it. There was a woman. It says she had an issue of blood. And for 13 years, 13 years, I believe that's right, 13 years. She had gone to the physician. She'd done what she knew to do. Nothing better. She grew worse. Boy, that sounds like a modern day story, doesn't it? Doing everything you know to do, and yet your health deteriorates. It continues to go down. Now it says, when she heard of Jesus, reckon what she heard. She must have heard what? Jesus is healing. Because it says when she heard of Jesus, she said to herself, if I can just get near enough to just touch the hem of his garment, touch his cloak, to touch his prayer shawl, to get close enough to just touch, I'll be made well. She must have heard something good. She sure must not have been hearing what we hear a lot nowadays. Well, I mean, it's been 13 years. God must want you to keep that. Are you listening? You say, yeah, but Pastor, I know somebody that believed like you said and they died. Well, that doesn't change what God said. Isn't that right? I know some people that have backslid, but I'm not trying to. Isn't that right? Don't mean I have to. I don't have to just because they did. And here's the thing. She said, if I can just get there and touch it, she said, I'm going to be made well. Now, after, and of course, you know the story. She did just what she said, and she got well, didn't she? Jesus never even prayed for her. He didn't even talk to her until after the fact. He said, somebody touched me. Who was it? She said, it was me. Now, here's where I wanted to get to. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. If her faith was enough to make her well of this incurable disease, your faith is enough for you to be made well. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Yep. See, because we sometimes think, boy, I know the pastor's faith enough. Oh, I know sister or brother so-and-so's faith will be enough. No, he said, notice Jesus didn't say my faith and my power. He said, your faith has made you what? Well, if her faith could make her well, then your faith as a believer is enough to make you well. In other words, you have sufficient faith now to be made whole. Uh-oh. Turn it on. I guess we're going over.
Here's the thing, though. Okay, you can't stand back. Imagine this woman with the issue of blood, and she's standing on the sidelines watching all these people get healed. And, you know, Jesus is walking through, and all these people around him are getting healed. She stood back as a spectator and just hoped that God would touch her, knowing that he was a good God and the good reports. And she believed it, okay? But if she stood back, was she going to receive? No. She had to do what? She had to be determined to get through the crowd. She had to be determined in her heart, and she had to get close to God. She had to draw close to God. So if you're needing healing, you need to draw close. You can't stand on the sidelines and hope. You have to get as close as you can, and then you believe that that you're going to receive because God loves you just as much as he loves them.
Amen. That's it. You can put it down. Just put it down. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe what? That he is. Now, that he is. Let's stop there a minute. That he is what? In this case, what? A healer. He that comes to God must believe that he is a healer. If you come to God for salvation, you must believe that God is a Savior. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know what would please God this morning? For you to be healed in your body. That would please God. Oh, he would. That would please him to no end. Oh, he would be thrilled. You leaving this place healed. I'm telling you, heaven would be thrilled. And here's the thing I want you to see. You have the faith to receive him as healer right now. You do. You don't need more faith. You just got to use, like Cindy was saying, use what you have. Jesus in teaching on faith. Men, if you would, come on and prepare the table here. Jesus was teaching on faith. And he said, faith the size of a grain of mustard seed is sufficient to move a mountain. You think about it. He didn't say, you get yourself a wheelbarrow full of faith and maybe the mountain will go. Mm-mm. Are you listening? He said, faith, you've got more faith than a grain of mustard seed. If you're a believer in Jesus, you've got more faith than that. It only takes faith as the grain of mustard seed. Now, in just a moment, the men are going to serve these elements. These elements represent the blood and the body of Jesus, and also the covenant that we have. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, then you have entered into a covenant with God. And that covenant means that God has not only provided forgiveness of sin, but he's also provided healing for your body. Healing for your body. And as we partake of these elements this morning, this is your opportunity to release your faith. If you need forgiveness of sins, it's a time to confess to God and receive forgiveness for any sin. Doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's going to forgive us. Why? Because of the blood. But also he said because of the broken body of Jesus Christ, healing is yours. And just exercise the faith you have. The faith you have is enough. And what we're going to do, the men are going to pass out these elements. And I'm going to pray over each one. And as we pray, we're going to drink the cup and we're going to eat the bread together. And we're going to receive from the covenant that God has provided for us. Now, while the men serve, Tuomo's going to play in the background. I want you to think about it this morning, especially if you need healing in your body. Think about how Jesus went about healing. Think about how healing has been provided. It is a free gift. By grace are you healed through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Healing is a gift. You don't earn it. It is a gift. It is a free gift by God, from God, to you by the covenant. Okay, men, would you serve people? Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. This morning, you need to examine yourself. First, examine your heart, your spirit. If there's anything in there between you and God, anything you need forgiveness for, you need to confess it to God this morning and get it out of the way before we eat the covenant meal. Then also, he said, examine yourself. That would include what? Examine your body. So this morning, examine your body. You've got a sickness in it. You've got an ache, a pain. You've got something there. He said, you examine it. Because what? In a minute, when we eat this covenant, we're going to eat it in a manner that's worthy. What is a manner that's worthy? Recognizing that he has paid the price for forgiveness of sins and the healing of our body. That is eating it worthily. Otherwise, what's the bread for? We just drink the cup. If all it is forgiveness of sins, we just drink the cup. Because the Bible says, by the shedding of the blood is forgiveness of sins. What is the bread for? What is the body for? The body is for healing. So both of those, understanding both of those, is to eat and drink in a worthy manner. He says, that is why, he said, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment to himself. What is the judgment? That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So this morning, examine your heart. Is it right before God? Anything I need forgiveness, do it now. But also examine your body. is something here I need healing for. I will honor the body as well as the blood, because Jesus paid an awful price. He bore my sins, but He also bore my sicknesses. And I will honor God not only in my spirit, but I will honor Him in my body to receive healing from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Read you something here, and then we're going to pray over the elements and partake together. I love to read this at covenant meal time, covenant table time. It's because he's in Psalm 23, he's talking about the shepherd. Of course, we know the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." What table? The covenant table. He can't be talking about heaven because there are no enemies in heaven. Are you listening to me? There are no enemies. He said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." He's not talking about the people sitting out here or next to you. He's talking about what? He's talking about Satan. He's talking about the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world. The enemies, yeah, they're out here. They're before us. But he says, "I'm preparing. My shepherd, my great shepherd, has prepared a table in the very presence of my enemies." He said, "You anoint my head with oil. You are set apart. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life." The covenant table. And there is no work of sin, and there is no work of sickness that is greater than the covenant table of our shepherd, the great shepherd. Father, we hold in our hands a cup. It represents the blood of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who offered himself up for us as a lamb without spot and wrinkle. God, we declare that blood is more than enough to cleanse us and forgive us from all unrighteousness. Lord, as we partake of it today, we remember and we declare that we are forever forgiven. And we are the children of God. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Go ahead and drink. I know we usually do the bread first, but I did that on purpose. Now, the bread, the body of the Lord, the body of the Lord. The body of the Lord. Father, we hold in our hands the body. And Lord, we saved it for last in order. Because Lord, I want the people who need healing in their body to think on this. And as we honor the blood, which we do, we also equally honor the body of Jesus Christ. The body that was broken. The body that was broken. It was broken for us. That body was broken so that we might be free from pain, from sickness and disease. Lord, we honor the body now. And by faith, as we eat this bread, we receive healing for our bodies. We declare, Lord, that your healing power in the body of Jesus is greater than cancer. It's greater than rheumatism. It's greater than heart disease, blood, high blood pressure, any sickness that has a name. That body is greater. It's not us, Lord. It is the body. And we partake and receive healing now by faith in Jesus' name. Let's eat. Lord, I receive healing for my body now. If you need healing, just to the Lord, you say, I receive healing now, Lord. I receive healing for my body. I receive healing for my rheumatism. I receive healing. Whatever it is, you say it before the Lord. I receive healing. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. Just as we receive forgiveness of sin, Lord, just as easily we receive by grace healing in our bodies. Healing in our bodies. Healing in our bodies. Healing in our bodies. Strength in my body. For anemia, right now we receive strength in your body. For rheumatism, you receive strength in those joints. Healing in those joints. In the name of Jesus. Healing of cancer and blood diseases. Healing of problems with the ears and hearing and eye problems. Healing with the feet and joints and blood circulation and pulmonary problems. We receive healing now, O God. In the name of Jesus, we receive healing. Father, where there's been swelling, Father, of different limbs and all, we receive healing from that now and deliverance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You fulfill our days in strength and in health because of the body of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Now listen, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So, as you leave this place in just a few moments, listen, remember, healing is provided. Yesterday, today, and forever. In Revelations 22, it talks about the trees there in the New Jerusalem. And it said that the leaves will be for the healing of the nations. Even in the New Jerusalem, there will be healing. It is forever settled. This covenant meal declares it is forever settled. We are the healed of God. Healing is mine. Healing is yours. Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Listen, I want to encourage you. You know, usually here is a rule. The first Sunday, it's a little bit lower, brother, thank you. The first Sunday, we usually do communion here as a community of believers. But listen, you don't have to relegate communion just to a once a month thing. You can do it in your home. You can do it in your home. Jesus said as often. You can do it. Some people do it every day. But here's the thing. You do it regularly. And sometimes too, if you feel like, you feel like something's trying to come on you. You know what I mean? Some kind of sickness or something. Or you start feeling pain, something comes on you. Man, you ought to just, communion time. Lord's table time, covenant meal time. You just get your juice and get your cracker out there at home. You open up the scriptures and you say, hold on just a minute here, sickness. I got news for you. Swine flu, whatever it is, I got news for you. I've got a covenant with God. The blood and the body, and I got news for you. Healing is mine.